Well, let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 119. And we're singing from verse 17. And the whole of this section to verse 24. 17 to 24. Psalm 119.
With me thy son.
Read some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, and into chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's 2 Corinthian epistle, at verse 15 in chapter 4, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle or tent, physical body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now let us pray together, shall we? Eternal God, we recognize from the scripture that it is good to listen to God speaking to us. And it is good for us to speak to God, knowing that he listens to us. And we pray that as we come this evening around the word, that it would be to us not over familiar, but a challenge, an instruction, a consolation, that it would be, as it were, a new thing, that our heart's delight would be in the great themes of the scripture. We know that great stories must have great themes, and we know that the gospel is the greatest story ever told, and it is a great theme, and it deserves great attention. It reminds us of so great a salvation and deliverance from so great a death. And it deserves great sermons and great obedience. Everything about it is great and godly and glorious and gracious. And we so often, Heavenly Father, treat it simply as a doctrine, something to argue over, something to, as it were, split hairs in order to win arguments. Very often this is how we at least appear to others. We pray that we would store up the word in our hearts, as the psalmist did, and that we would practice it in our lives, as our Lord Jesus Christ did, and as the apostles did. And as we live our lives, help us, we pray, to walk not simply according to the traditions of the fathers or even to the creeds and confessions of the best churches, but according to the word of God, living, abiding, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God written in such a manner that we find it in a measure easy to understand and easy to read. It is not hard on the brain, as it were. We pray it will not be hard on our ears or hard on our hearts tonight. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we read these words of the apostle, we would have the same desires that he had, the same confidence, the same assurance, the same looking away to things unseen, knowing that by faith we understand things that without faith are dead to us and we to them. So help us as we gather here, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would join in the great community of the redeemed down through the ages, and those who have already gone into heaven, knowing that we have not come to Mount Sinai, the mountain that smoked and flamed and thundered, but rather we have come to that heavenly mountain, to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the community of the redeemed, to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, to Jesus, the mediator of the better covenant, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And we have come to that blood which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And this is our gospel, and we pray that we would value it, embrace it, never let it go, knowing that it will never let us go. And as we come, however frequently we come to the throne of grace, we recognize the promise still stands, that all who come will never be turned away. And always there is grace to be found for times of need. And always there is mercy, every day, new mercy, for new sins, for new waywardnesses. And always there is this access into God's holy presence. And God can be known. And the great God of heaven, before whom the whole universe is as nothing, introduces himself to us as a heavenly Father and a Savior. And this is an astonishing thing. We pray that we would be astonished at it, that we would wonder, because in heaven the angels wonder and the saints wonder with adoration. And so help us, we pray, this evening to read with intelligence and to listen with attentiveness. And all for God's glory, we pray, and all for our good, we pray. And all in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read in Romans, chapter 8. In Romans, chapter 8. And we shall read, I was going to read from the beginning, but we'll read from verse 15. At verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation, or the creature, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so on. Amen. Well, we continue then to praise God's name in Psalm 119 and at verse 25 to 32.